Tonight I'm going to preach a message on a little different than I usually preach. I usually preach out of the expository way. But tonight I want to preach on a subject called fasting. Fasting. I believe tonight that this truth that has been taught by Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, and begin reading there in verse 16 down to verse 18, is a truth that I don't believe is practiced much at all in the church. I believe today that it ought to be practiced. I believe that it's something that you and I are to participate with. But I believe there's not much teaching on it in the independent fundamental Baptist realm, in that many preachers that if you look at them, notice that they don't do much fasting anyhow. And so in that, you find that I believe our church is lacking in spiritual ways. I believe the church today is not lacking in wealth. I believe we're not lacking in buildings. I believe we're not lacking in intellect. I believe we're not lacking in as far as physical abilities, but I believe we're lacking spiritually. Fasting is a spiritual activity. It's a spiritual truth. It's something that Jesus has spoken of here in chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 16. We're going to look through the Old Testament about fasting. We're going to come up to the New Testament here. We're going to use this verse here, these verses here, as a springboard to go forward and kind of explain to us this evening about fasting. I believe our church tonight has come to the place. We have been praying. We have been witnessing. We have been knocking on doors. We have passed out tracts. We have a website. We have a sermon audio. Matter of fact, the last year, our sermons, or the last month, our sermons has went out. Over 1,800 people have heard them and downloaded them. And over, I believe it's like a 34 states and 26 nations. And so the Word of God out of Glory Baptist Church is going forth throughout the radio or over the airwaves. And so we appreciate that. But yet, tonight, I believe we need to go further. I believe that prayer is important, yes. I believe that being faithful is mightily important. But I believe tonight we need to consider tonight, if we would, as a church, as an individual, about fasting. Just consider it tonight as the Word of God may penetrate our hearts and may speak to our hearts and may do a work in our souls concerning. All right. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Stand to our feet. We'll begin reading in verse 16 through verse 18. And we'll just see what the Lord has to say tonight about fasting. The Bible says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Well, very clear instructions concerning fasting. This ain't about men knowing you're not eating. This ain't about you having some sort of idea that you become spiritual or you become more spiritual or highly spiritual if you fast and somebody else don't fast. This has nothing to do with your flesh, has nothing to do with yourself, has everything to do with your Father. Amen? It's a spiritual activity that Jesus, I believe, would have us to do. And so He gives us sort of some small instructions, not as much as you might think, but some small instructions, but they're important instructions. And that is tonight that if you want God to reward thee openly, and I believe tonight through with every fasting there's a prayer, and in that prayer you're asking God to do something about whatever the situation means. This church needs a piano player. Amen? This church needs desperately a piano player to play that piano. Now, how are we going to get that piano player? Well, tonight, I know we can probably put an ad in the paper, and for $50 a Sunday, we can get somebody to play that piano. I think we can do that, amen? I mean, we got the $50, and somebody needs $50 to play the piano. We need tonight in our church, we need to have a greater burden for sinners, amen? Tonight we need to have a brokenness for our own sinfulness. Tonight we need families to come and join our church. We need a youth group, amen? I mean, tonight we need a lot of things, and I can continue on what we need tonight as a church. Besides what you need for your home. Amen. There's some of you tonight that needs a relationship with your wife and with your spouse. You need children that are disobedient, rebellious to come back to God. I mean, in your home, you need finances tonight to meet the bills and to pay what you are to do, which is right. Amen. I mean, in our own hearts tonight, we have some needs tonight. We've been praying. We've been faithful. We've been serving. And yet those needs, the Bible has said that the Father hasn't openly rewarded us just yet. Now, we're not going to quit. We're not going to go backwards. We're going to keep our hand on the plow, amen, and we're going to go forward. But I believe we need to maybe consider tonight just fasting, amen. And so just another way, I believe, that we can honor God and see God reward us openly. Let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight in the name of Jesus tonight. And God, as we begin to strive to understand these things that Jesus is speaking of concerning fasting, God, that You'll give us Your mind and give us Your heart. I pray, God, You give us a great understanding, dear God, and then we'll apply it to our lives. And Father, we ask You tonight, God, that we'll not be lazy. God, we'll not be without discipline tonight. God, that we'll have ears to hear and hearts to receive. And God, tonight, help us tonight, dear God, to take God's Word seriously. God, help us not to lightly esteem it at all. And Father, I pray as Jesus was teaching it, I believe tonight He'd have us to do it and be part of it tonight. And God, I believe we'll see some great results. I believe, dear God, that You want to, our Father, to openly, dear God, reward us. And we ask You tonight, dear God, to do as You please in our sight, in Your sight, dear God, in our hearts. We love You and we thank You tonight. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight the Bible says, moreover, when you fast. It doesn't say when to fast. It says when you fast. And so there's not a certain time you fast. It's not a day that you fast. It's not something tonight that you would look at what Jesus is saying. It says, moreover, when you fast. And so, if you fast one time, you fast 1,000 times. It's when you fast. Amen? And so, we don't see that Jesus is commanding us to fast. Don't misunderstand me tonight at all. He says, but when you do fast, if you decide to fast, if that's where you're led to go, and that's what you want to do, and you feel like that's what you need to do, we said, then don't do it like this. Amen? He says, don't do it like this. Don't at all do it this way. He says, and be not as the hypocrites tonight. Now, I'll tell you something tonight. The last thing we want to be is hypocrites. Amen? I mean, listen, tonight, people are not coming to our church because they're not going to go to church with hypocrites. And friend, they're not here. Amen? And so, we surely don't want to be hypocrites tonight. And we don't want to be hypocrites in the church. We don't be hypocrites at home. We don't be hypocrites at our work. We don't be hypocrites in our places where we go. We just don't want to be hypocrites tonight. So, we got to do it like Jesus said. And He goes on in verse 17. He says, but thou, when thou fastest, once again, it's open there. It's not a command. It's not a demand. It's if you do and when you do. And if you're going to do it, He says, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. In other words, what He's saying is this, is don't go around and your lips all white and you're all maybe sweaty and you're saying, somebody says, what's wrong with you? Well, I've been fasting. I've been with God. I mean, me and God for the last 75 years, man, I haven't ate nothing. Hey, boy, I tell you, why are you looking like that? Why are you white in the mouth? And why you look like you're fixing to fall out? Oh, because I just got with God and me and God, like you're some spiritual Sam or spiritual Sue. Amen? That's not... Hey, Fred, listen, if you're going to fast and go around telling everybody and broadcast it and tell everybody, listen, I'm walking with God so much that I'm fasting, friend, then you've got the wrong way of fasting. Amen? He's just saying, listen, when you fast, do not appear to man to fast. And nobody ought to know that you're fasting. Now, some people might know, and you might have to tell some people, amen, like this, for example. On Wednesday evenings, most of the time, Sister Sophia fixes us something to eat, amen? Me and Brother Gene on Wednesday evenings, and I come here at 3 o'clock and prepare a message and get ready for the night. But she always cooks something that she's never cooked before, so me and Brother Gene sort of like guinea pigs. Amen? And we don't mind that, do we, Brother Gene? And so, but the fact of the matter is, I might have to tell Sophia here real soon, says, Sophia, don't cook me anything now, I'm fasting. But my whole motivation of doing that is I don't want her to cook a meal and I'm not able to eat it. And it's not because I want her to know that I'm fasting, amen? All I'm saying tonight is that you are to fast in such a way, according to the Bible, that men are not to know that, but unto the Father, which is in secret. And so we see tonight that our fasting is directly related to our Father. Amen? And that is it tonight. Not to one another, not to each other, and friend, matter of fact, not even to yourself tonight, but unto the Father. Amen? And it's in secret. And so we're talking about something done where nobody else sees you do it. Amen? And nobody else is going to notice you. Nobody's going to pat you on the back. Nobody's going to give you a flower and send you a card and take you out to eat whenever you get over fasting. Amen? Because you fasted. But I'm saying tonight, the Bible says that God will reward you openly. Amen? And so we're looking for that. And I'm going to say, number one, because there's really no command or demand of fasting, what is the very cause of fasting? I mean, Jesus is here in the New Testament saying that when you fast, there in verse 16, He says in verse 17, when thou fastest, what are the causes for fasting? Well, I looked through the Scripture, I went through the Old Testament, I found a few places about when they fasted and why they fasted and the cause of fasting. I want you to turn to number one, the Judges. Turn to Judges chapter 20 tonight. And we're going to have some causes of why somebody would fast. And boy, you're going to be seeing tonight some remarkable reasons why somebody would fast. And in Judges chapter 20, and let's begin reading about verse 18. We find in the Word of God, it says, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God. Now they're about to have a battle. They're in battle. They're going to have a battle. And so here they go up to the house of God in verse 18. They ask counsel of God. They said, and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And verse 21 says that 22,000 men died in that battle. And verse 23 says, the children of Israel went up again to the house of God. But this time they went up and wept. So there was an additional thing that they've done. And they wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle? The next thing you know, in verse 25, the last part of that verse, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. And so 18,000 men died. So we're talking about 22,000, 18,000. And then we come to verse 26 and it says, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up again. See, they already did that twice. And the Bible says they went up and they wept. Well, they already done that once. And the third thing that they done, and the Bible says, and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day unto evening. Now you see how the progression was. They went the first to the house of God. The second thing, they went to the house of God and wept. The third time they went to the house of God and wept and fasted. And you find that the Bible says that they have fasted. Why did these people fast? I'll tell you why. Because they were losing battles. They were losing men. And they needed God's help. Amen? I mean, friend, listen, they already lost 40,000 men. And friend, they were in a battle and they were facing some problems, some difficulties of life. They had no idea what else to do. They then went to the house of God. They began weeping to God. They're asking counsel of God. They're praying to God, seeking God's face. And the last thing they come to do is fasting. Well, why did they start fasting? Because they were in a battle. I wonder how many battles you're in tonight. I wonder how many troubles and difficulties and storms you're facing tonight. I wonder tonight, do you really need to fast? Well, if you've got a battle going on in your life, you might just need to do more than just pray. You might need more than just a weep to God. You might need to come to a place and fast. Amen? Battles. I see battles going on. So they begin to fast. I notice that fasting, what they fast for, the Bible says, they fasted according to the Scripture that day. That day unto evening. And so you see that these people fasted that day. They didn't fast the next day. They didn't fast the day after. They fasted that day because they were having battles. They were seeking counsel. They were crying out. They were losing men. And they needed help from God. Amen. Number two, I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Here's another cause of fasting. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. Here's another situation that took place in the life of a man of God. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and there verse 12. The Bible says, "And they mourned and they wept and fasted until evening." And so now they fasted until the evening time. Just a portion of time. It might have been 4 hours, 6 hours, but it's just a portion of time. Fasted for the Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And they were mourning, amen. Folks have died. Jonathan died. Saul died. The children of Israel tonight, the house of Israel, the Bible says, they were fasting for. There was a brokenheartedness, amen. There was people that have died. There's people that are now hurt and they're mourning in their heart because of the death of the king and the king's son, amen. And so you say, why are they fasting? Well, that's the reason why they're fasting, because of the mourning of the heart. The hurt of the heart. The time that they need God to really console them and comfort them and meet them at the greatest need, when there was something took place that they have no control of, and someone's died and someone's no longer there, and their heart is broken and hurt and mourning, and say, "Oh God, we're going to fast until evening." You know why? Because we are hurting and we need God's help. So we see that there's battles when they're fasting over. We see that there's a mourning because of death and they're fasting over. Thirdly, I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 16. The Bible says, actually in verse 15, the Bible says, "And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him and to rise him up from the earth, but he would not, even did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died." And so we see that David, who had a sick child, David who was not only praying, but falling his face onto the ground, onto the earth, and as he was probably laid out before God on the earth with his face down, and he was fasting for at least 7 days, we read in the Scripture. Why was he fasting? What was the cause of fasting? Sickness. Someone who's sick. Someone who may die. Someone who may have disease. Someone who may have trouble. Someone who may not live for much longer. Someone who it looks like they're going to pass on. Listen, that is a good cause for fasting. Not only mourning because of death and battles in your life, but because of sickness and disease of those that you love. Fasting. I want you, number four, turn to Ezra. Ezra tonight, chapter 8. Ezra tonight, chapter 8. And I can't be long on each one of these tonight. We're going to quickly go through. Ezra tonight, chapter 8. And verse 21, the Bible says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. And for I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good to seek Him, but His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." But why was there a cause there? For protection and provision, they began to fast. You see, tonight in your life, do you need protection? And do you need provision? You see, these folks here come to the place in their life where they began to seek God. What's the right way for us, Lord? Lord, what is the right way for us to live and to go and to do? Oh, Lord, we have children. We have little ones. And we have ones, dear God, in all our substance, Lord. We need You to protect it for us. Oh, give us some sort of provision. Oh, give us some help, I pray, against our enemy. Oh, God, we need You tonight. And friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you got any family at all, children tonight, wife tonight, if you have anyone that you love and care for, and friend, you need God not only to pray, but I believe tonight that we need to begin to fast, that God will provide and God will protect. Because we got a mean, cruel enemy, amen. He wants to kill and steal and destroy. He wants to divide your home. He wants to take your children. He wants to shut the doors of this church. He wants this pastor and preacher to shut up. He wants to destroy my life and my family tonight. Listen, if he can get in our lives and our hearts and separate us from God, he'll be glad to do that. Oh, God, help us tonight. Not only to just pray, and not only just to seek, and not only just be faithful, but God, we may consider tonight to fast because we need your protection and your provision. Well, we see a fourth thing tonight. Look in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. We see that there was another opportunity and a cause for fasting. We see in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, verse 1, to the words of Nehemiah, the son of Haggai, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, and Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped and which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are of great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof were burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Oh, I see here the cause was, God, we need mercy. Because the next prayer and the prayer that he prayed, friend, he's praying that God would have mercy upon them. Well, they have sinned. And boy, his heart now is seeing the results of sin. How the gates are tore down, how the people of God have been in captivity, how they're in great affliction, of great reproach, and now Nehemiah hears that. His heart is now broke. He begins to weep, he begins to mourn, but for certain days he begins to fast. And the reason why is he's asking God for mercy. God, give your grace. Oh God, we know that what we've done, we've sinned against you, oh God. Oh, please have mercy. Be merciful unto us. Tonight, that's another cause for mercy. Another cause tonight for fasting. Well, if you look at our churches tonight, you'll find that our churches, the wall of Jerusalem also was broken down. There's many walls tonight that are broken down. There are times when we that are the Christians, the independent, fundamental, Baptist, King James Version, Bible-believing, independence, amen, we stood for something. There was a time when we stood in our morals and our ethics, amen, and we had positions and we had conditions, and friend, we'd only go no far. We drew a line and said that we're going to serve God, and we're not going to follow the devil and his ways and his works, and we're going to live for him. And we find throughout the churches tonight, and friend, it ought to break your heart. You ought to see the mourning in your heart tonight, how the churches are now throwing Jesus Christ completely out, like I spoke of this morning. Now preachers tonight are not preaching anymore. And now they're up there as careers, and they're up there to have money, and they're up there to have a job. They're up there to have a place to go in order to make money. The calling of God is not important anymore. Friend, it's not winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not pulling them out of the fire anymore. It's not knowing there's a real hell that's hot and a real hell, friend, where people are going to. Friend, it's a heaven tonight that we can go to if we would just repent of our sin and turn from our sins and turn to Jesus and receive Him tonight as our Lord and Savior. Friend, we're not preaching no more. The walls have been broken down. The gates, friend. It seems like you can get in any kind of way you want to anymore. Whatever you want to get. If you want to come in by the way of baptism, you want to pray a little prayer. And friend, that just makes me sick this evening to know that some people think that all you got to do is pray a prayer to get saved. That's a lie of the pits of hell. Ain't not one person ever got saved praying a prayer. Not one. Nowhere in the Bible can you show me that. I can show you time after time after time of people being born again without praying one prayer. You know what I always hear now? Well, if you prayed that prayer, now you write or email me. Did you pray that prayer? Now, if you prayed that prayer, now listen, do you want to go to heaven? Do you not want to go to hell? Well, then pray after me and pray after me. I'm so sick and tired of pray after me. That's not how a man gets into the kingdom of God. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. I challenge you tonight. I know what many say, well, won't you go there to the Bible and there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, let's go there. That'd be a perfect place to start. Amen. There's more verses than verse 13 there. Oh, the Bible says also in another place in Esther chapter 4. You turn there about fasting. Esther chapter 4. Look there in verse 1. Esther chapter 4, verse 1. The Jews have heard in Esther's day, in verse 13, they got letters that were sent out by the post into the kingdom's provinces. Now this is what they heard in this letter. To destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews. Both young, this is in verse 13 now, chapter 3. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey. Now what this decree went out for, they said, kill, to destroy, and to cause to perish all the Jews, no matter if you're a child or you're an adult, and take what they have and use it for yourself. Well, in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 says, and Mordecai perceived all that was done. Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And came even before the king's gate. None might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And every providence whatsoever the king's commandment and decree came, that was great mourning among the Jews and fasting, weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. What was the cause of fasting of that day? Well, they were under persecution. They're fixing to die for being a Jew. They're fixing to die to believe in the God that they believed in. Just because of who they believed in and who they were, they're fixing to face suffering, fixing to face pain, and fixing to lose their families. Amen. Tonight there's another cause for fasting. I want to say, turn to Psalms chapter 35 and verse 13. Psalms 35, verse 13. I want you to look there. I'm talking about the causes of fasting. Jesus said, when you fast. We've got to have causes to fast tonight. Here's another cause. Psalms chapter 35, verse 13. The Bible says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. What's he talking about? Well, if you read the verses 1 through 12, you'll find that David's talking about his enemies. He's talking about those that he has trouble with, those that are coming before him. And he comes to the place where now he's going to fast for his enemies. That's what it says. David said, man, listen, those guys there, they done me that away, they done it this away, and they hurt me, and they troubled me, and oh God, I pray that you do this, you do that. And then the Bible says in verse 13 that David began to fast for his enemies. I'm going to tell you something, friend, that is the cause tonight, to begin to fast. There's a lot of enemies of Christ tonight. There's a lot of enemies of the Word of God. There's a lot of enemies of the God Himself tonight, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. Well, tonight there's a God, there's an enemy of the church tonight. There's another cause that we need to fast. I will say Psalm chapter 69, verse 10. Psalm 69. Look there in verse 10. Psalm 69 and verse 10. The Bible says, and when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. David's in great affliction here, if you read out throughout the first 9 verses of this chapter, you'll find that he's in great affliction. He's in a great affliction of being in pain and hurting and suffering. He said, you know what? He said, I think I'm just going to pour out my affliction in fasting. In other words, friend, I've got troubles in me. I've got difficulties in me. I mean, there's things about me that I need some healing. I need some mending in my heart. I need God to touch me. And what I'm going to do is I've done prayed and I've done sought out God and I've been faithful unto Him, but I'm just going to turn unto Him with fasting. Amen. And so if you got affliction in your life, you got trouble in your life, you got hurt tonight and pain and suffering tonight, you might consider fasting. Amen. Well, tonight we've already heard a lot of reasons and causes for fasting, haven't we? I want to show you a few more now in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, turn there quickly. Daniel begins to fast. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. I want you to notice here. He said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God to make and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love Him, to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts from Thy judgments. You know why He's fasting? He's fasting because He wants forgiveness for Him and His people. Forgiveness of Him and the church. Forgiveness in those who call themselves Christians tonight, so call themselves the church tonight, but are living in sin and in wickedness. Oh, God, forgive them. Well, friend, you come to the place in your heart, instead of you looking at them and judging them, instead of you looking at them and saying, well, they're probably not even saved because they can't live that away and be saved. Or you look at them and you throw them under the bus. Or you treat them like they're some kind of a distant cousin of some type. Amen. Instead of doing that tonight, maybe just look at those tonight that are in the place where they've sinned against God and they're wrong with God. And they're backslidden on God. They're far away from God. And that's from us turning our heads from it and getting our minds off of it. Well, we fall on our face and fast because of it. Oh, another cause. Another cause. Fasting tonight for forgiveness. Joel chapter 2 tonight. Joel chapter 2. As we scroll through the Word of God. Won't you look at verse 11? The Bible says, and the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, even to me, with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. What's He saying? He said, listen, tonight we are to fast because of judgment. We need help. God's judgment is coming. Judgment is on the way. Judgment tonight. The day of the Lord tonight. Friend, there's a many that's not saved. A many that doesn't know the Lord. A many tonight, friend, that they don't think at all that they're going to stand before a holy God one day. And you and I ought to be just the ones tonight, spiritual enough, walking with God close enough, be concerned enough tonight that the whole world's going to go up in judgment tonight, that you and I would begin to fast. God, judgment's coming. Causes to fast. Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 2. I don't have a watch tonight, so I have no idea. I know there's a clock on the left, but if I don't look, then I'm not responsible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward a-hungered. Why was He a-fasting? Well, He was being in temptation. Amen. We are fast because we need God's help in temptation. Friend, we're going to be tempted. Friend, if you know anything about living the Christian life tonight, temptation's coming your way. Friend, when you go home tonight, when you get before that TV, that one-eyed monster tonight, you're going to see temptation. Oh, when you get up in the morning, you're going to find temptation amongst people, amongst billboards, amongst music, amongst movies, amongst people, amongst things tonight, even the communication of people tonight, temptation. You need to fast. God help. Well, I say to you in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 14. Turn there, please. Matthew 17, about verse 14. Thousands that were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him, saying, Lord, we have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and oft in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall you be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting. But we find another reason or cause to fast is demon possession. Demon possession. Well, look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I can't go. Time is getting away, so I need to move forward. Acts 13, verse 2. Verse 2. Another cause for fasting. The Bible says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now this is the church at Antioch, and they had prophets and teachers such as Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucius and Cyrene and Manian, which had brought up the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered in this church, it was the Holy Ghost of God is now going to separate them out. But what were they doing? They were fasting. He said another reason tonight why God, the Holy Spirit of God, would separate one to go into a mission field. Separate one to go into the ministry. And separate one, a man that would be raised up and to be a lover of God and be a man of God, and that he would get a wife and a family and go off and to be a pastor someplace, be a missionary somewhere. You know what the church ought to be doing tonight? We'll be fasting. That God would raise some men, some women up and put them in the ministry. Yeah. I'm just trying to give you some causes of fasting. When you fast. When? I believe sometimes we don't fast, not because we don't want to, because we can't really justify the cause of fasting. Until somebody really just brings it to our attention and brings it to our mind. Yeah. I need to fast. Amen? How long has it been since we've seen somebody called to the ministry out of here? How long has it been since we've seen somebody get saved, born again, trained and taught, called to preach, anointed and licensed, and had the privilege of sending them out? That's about as long as we've had the fast. And I'm not saying fasting is going to do that, but I'm saying fasting can't hurt that. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Just try to give you some causes tonight. Try to stir your mind, stir your heart toward this thing about fasting. Verse 23, the Bible says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And what this is all about here is that they have started churches, and these men have been called out and been taken out by separated by the Holy Ghost, Paul and Barnabas and men of that nature have started these churches, and they have ordained these ministers, these men, to be pastors of these churches. And one thing that they do is they begin to fast. Amen? They begin to pray with fasting that God, that this will be the right man for the right place to do the right thing so that God could be glorified and souls could be saved. You know, it would be a good reason why tonight that you begin to fast is for your pastor. That might be a pretty good reason tonight. That God would use him, and God would raise him up, and God would empower him, and God would keep him on this narrow way, and God would keep his mind stayed, and God would just lead and guide and fill and anoint, and he would preach it, preaching the power, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God, that souls would be saved and lives would be changed, that he'd be not discouraged, he'd be not distraught, he'd be not depressed, but he'd be able to preach with power. Another cause for fasting. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. This is the last one. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. The Bible says, defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Well, what's that mean tonight? Well, let's talk about the marriage. There comes times in marriages tonight where just not getting along. I mean, it just don't seem like it's just working. It just seems like, man, that we loved each other and our love may be dwindling just a little bit. And it just seems like, man, that our communication is now cut off, and It just seems like our compassion for one another is not there. It just seems like the romance in our marriage is done. What do I do? Well, we always talk about divorce. We always talk about, you know, get rid of that old fella and get rid of that old gal and just get to somebody else. But the Bible says, listen, there's a marriage and it's in trouble. It's a marriage that there is trouble in that marriage, and there is trouble and there are difficulties and divisions and schisms, and there's contention there. And friend, the Bible says what we need to do is we need to fast and pray. I wonder how many of us tonight who have marriage problems are serious enough to begin to fast. See, we're real big to go look for an apartment somewhere. And we're real quick to say, you need counsel. But how fast are we to fall on our face? So, God, I'm just going to fast. Marriages tonight, because they need God's help. Now, tonight, I gave you a lot this tonight. I'm going to go a little further. I hope you give me a little more time tonight. If you don't give me more time, I'll just take it. But the cause of fasting tonight is very clear. Number two, I want you to notice the cost of fasting. Jesus said back in our text, He says, when you fast. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's going to cost you to fast. It's not an easy thing. It's not something that you and I are just going to do. Because you know what tonight? If it was an easy thing and an ordinary thing and a normal thing, you and I would be doing it daily or often or regular. But we're done. The cost of fasting is looking to Psalms chapter 35 and verse 13. I'm going to give you three verses tonight and we'll stop there. I've got other things to say concerning that, but my time has run out. Psalms chapter 35, I want you to look at verse 13. I want you to notice the first thing is the cost of fasting is the humbling of the soul. The humbling of the soul. Now, in Psalms chapter 35 and verse 13, the Bible says, for as me when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled my soul with fasting. I humbled my soul with fasting. That word humbling means to depress. It means to look down. It means to abase. And what God is saying tonight, that it's not about not eating. Don't get that on your mind. That's as far as it can be. Listen, fasting of not eating is to the medical field. Not to the Bible. Somehow, some way, we get equated that, oh, fasting, I can't have my pizza and hamburgers and things like cookies and ice cream. I can't do that, you know, because I'm fasting. Oh, but listen, if you can get this perspective tonight, that the cost of fasting is humbling your soul. Is depressing your soul. It's come to the place, friend, when you lay down the soul, when the flesh is no longer in control, and the mind of you is no longer reigning your life, and it's not longer anymore about what you want and how you feel and what you think, but it's the humbling of the very soul of the human being. That whatever cause it is that I labeled a while ago, I think there was 15 of them, whatever cause there was, it was an humbling my soul. It was something causing depression within me. I'm not talking about a depression that you need a pill or you need a psychiatrist. But I'm talking about a depression that you need God. Amen? We're not talking about just stop eating fried chicken. We're talking about having humbling of the soul. I'm talking about something down deep in an individual. But man, listen, this is within me, man. I've got to depress myself. I've got to come to the place where I base myself. Where it's not about me and about what I want, but what God wants. And the very fact that I need His help in this cause. Number two, not only an humbling of the soul, but it's a chastening of the soul. Look there in Psalm 69:10. Psalm 69:10. The psalmist said, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. That word chastening tonight means conviction and correction and judging. It means rebuke and reproof. And all it's saying tonight is this, is I've come to the place in my Christian life where the very cause of whatever the cause is tonight, it has created in me such a rebuke and a correcting in my heart and a reproof in my soul that is chastening me. It's a conviction. I use, for example, a small one. Maybe this piano player, amen? And this piano player is something that we always say, we need a piano player, we need a piano player, we need a piano player. But whenever it begins to chasten your soul that you need a piano player, it put great conviction in your heart and you get rebuked about it. You get corrected about it. It's down deep in your soul. It's not about missing the fried chicken. It's not laying down the jello. It's not picking up the fries, Fred. It's getting the piano player. It's such a conviction in the heart. It's a chastening in the soul. It's a down burning in the heart, oh God. What can I do? And you fast. Amen? So it's a humbling of the soul, it's a chastening of the soul. And here, last thing, we'll close. It's an affliction of ourselves before God. Turn back to Ezra. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. I want you to turn to verse 21. The Bible says, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Avila, that we might afflict ourselves before God." Talking about fasting. That means tonight, the word afflict ourselves means to submit, weaken, or force ourselves unto God. Submit, weaken, or force ourselves unto God. With the same attitude tonight, if you remember when Jacob was holding on, he said, "I'll not let you go." That's the same affliction I'm speaking of tonight. God, I'm afflicting myself on you. I'm weakening myself on you. I'm submitting myself on you. And God, I want to fast so that we get a piano player. I'm going to afflict my soul. I'm going to humble my soul. God, I'm going to fast so that we get a piano. And tonight, the last one was the correction of fasting. We're not going to be able to preach on that, but I hope tonight you might see fasting in a little different way than just not eating. But I'll tell you something tonight. There's a lot of fasting goes on in Christian homes and Christian churches, and all they're really doing is missing some good meals. They are. They're neglecting some good food, man. Because there's no affliction of the soul. There's no humbling of the soul. There's none of that what I spoke of tonight, the cost of fasting. But if it don't cost you, it's not worth it. There's nothing involved in that. There's absolutely nothing that God ever done that didn't cost Him. Why would you think that God would not allow you not to cost you? Now, tonight, the Bible says that when you do fast, that you do that with the Father, secretly. And that He'll reward you openly. Amen? Would you consider this day fasting? As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not telling you tonight to do this. I'm not telling you tonight not to do this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about this. Fasting. Fasting. We've prayed. We've sought God. We've been faithful. We've served Him. Tonight, are we able to go a little further now? I don't know tonight. There may be one of you tonight, or some of you that have some of these causes that I spoke of tonight. And you really want God to reward you openly on these things. It might take fasting tonight for you to be moved. Afflicting of your soul. Humbling your soul. How about it tonight? You need to come to the altar. You come now. Just do business with the Father. Lay out before Him. Now before you come tonight, don't make a vow. And don't keep it. Don't come here down here tonight because of your emotions and because of your feelings and lay out before the Lord on this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to fast for the next week. Thanksgiving comes on Thursday. Everybody's eating. And you just don't have, you're just so weak that you can't. You got to eat too. Let's be serious about this thing. Don't tell God you're going to do something tonight when you're not going to do it. You need to get serious about these things. There's troubles in your life, situations that I presented tonight as far as the causes of fasting, and you want God to openly reward you tonight, you're going to have to get serious with this thing about fasting. Won't you come now? We're going to sing one verse, and nobody comes, we'll close tonight. Brother Jimmy, as you sing.
I can hear my Savior.
You need to come, you come. You come, oh Lord, help me tonight. Help me to be strong. Help me be faithful, disciplined. Help me make a commitment to you that I'll keep, that I'll hold. Are these things important to you tonight? Sickness, disease, marriages, afflictions, trouble, battles. The calling of out of the church for missionaries and preachers, for the pastor himself. How about these things tonight? Oh God, we need your help tonight. Another avenue that we can get, we can gain from is fasting. Help us. Oh, if you need to come, you come. Come now. Come now. Come now. If you need to be saved tonight, you're ready to turn from your sin. Turn to Christ tonight. You come. You're willing to give up tonight. You're ready. You're at the end of your life. You come to the end of yourself. No longer do I want to live for me. I want to turn from my sin. I want to repent of my sin. I want to turn to Jesus tonight. I want to receive Him as my Lord. But as many as receive Him, He gave them the power to become the children of God. Won't you come tonight? Come in repentance. By faith. If you're saved tonight, won't you come just pray and ask God to help you to be faithful, to live a life of honor and holiness. God didn't call us to be happy. God called us to be holy. One more verse or some have come, brothers.
I will give me grace.
Please come.
And glory.
Yes, amen.
He will give.